If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in there's the front row is empty if anybody wants to come down here. We're in Titus chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, we can turn to Titus 3. If you're new around here, my name's Jeremy. We normally just walk through books of the Bible, okay? And we've been in the book of Titus for a few weeks. Titus is a letter that the apostle Paul wrote to a dude named Titus, who was a pastor that he left on the island of Crete in the middle of the Mediterranean. He's instructing him on things to do. And so we're just kind of learning about these instructions that Paul gives to Titus. Next week, if you want to go ahead and mark in your Bible, we're going to be headed back to the Old Testament to the book of Nahum. Depends on how you want to pronounce it, okay? I might have went down the rabbit hole on that, my bad. But anyway, you can look at it in your Bible. It's in the Old Testament. We're going to go Nahum and then Malachi, which we'll finish out the semester doing those two books. But today, Titus chapter 3, we're going to just walk through, and these are great verses, okay? I think this is a great passage. There's a lot in here for us and in American Christianity and things that we need to watch out against, and I hope we can help you with that. If you'd like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little card here. We'll walk through these things together. We're just going to methodically work through it. So we'll do verses 1 and 2, then 3 through 8, and then 9 through 15. So verses 1 and 2, Paul says to them, again, he's instructing, get this in your mind. Paul is writing Titus to teach him how to teach these Christians how to live, right? Here are the things that you need to do as you follow Jesus. As you continue in this walking with Jesus, here are the things you ought to do. He says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Here's one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy to all people. That's good timing for us, right? A few things here, right? The first few blanks here. What he's saying here is, how should Christians conduct themselves in the world? How should you and I conduct ourselves in the world in which we live? Okay, he gives them a few things. The first thing he says is, we should be respectful to our rulers and authorities. Okay, and listen to this. Some of you are not going to like this one. We should be respectful to our rulers and authorities no matter who our rulers and authorities are, okay? No matter if we agree with them, no matter if we vote for them, that doesn't matter, okay? Because we are living as sojourners and exiles in this world, and we understand that all rulers and authorities are put in place by God. Therefore, you and I can be respectful towards them, okay? Whether it's the president or Congress people or governor or city councilman or the board of education, whoever, okay? Whoever is there, we ought to be a people marked by being respectful towards those whom God has put in leadership over us, okay? Two, he says we should be obedient. We should obey those that God has placed over us, unless obeying them means breaking God's law, okay? Unless it means breaking God's law, we should obey those that God has put over us. We should be a people that are eager to serve, right? We should be eager to serve, wanting to help. That should be the kind of people we are in the world that we live in, okay? Number four, this is some of y'all might want to start this one, all right? Be kind with your words. Okay? Even on social media, that we would be a kind of people that are marked by kindness. That would be who we are as Christians. People who are kind with our words. That we would be, the next one, be peacemakers. Okay? And if you got room, you might want to write out beside there, not just peacekeepers, but peacemakers. So the Bible, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. We're not just here to keep the peace. We, as Christians, should be people who are helping to make peace where there is division, where there's strife. As ministers of reconciliation, we should be the kind of people that are not making division, okay, but making peace. That's the kind of people we ought to be. That's how we ought to live. And then the last two here that go together, we should be gentle and we should be humble, okay? Be gentle. Gentleness is not weakness. Okay, gentleness is power under control. That's what that is. It's you having the authority but not always using it. Humility, I've told you this before, my favorite definition of humility is from C.S. Lewis. He said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Okay, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less often than you think of others, right? That is humility. Verse 3, 3 to 8. These are great, okay? This is going to get a little theological here, but you can hang in there, okay? He says, for we ourselves were once, this is who we used to be. Verse 3 is who we used to be, okay? So if verse 3 marks your life now, you should take some inventory of your heart, okay? We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. That's who we used to be, not who we are anymore, right? But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's really good. We'll get into that. Verse 8 is really important, I think. This is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works, that they to things that are excellent and profitable for people. Okay, he goes and says, this is who you used to be without Jesus, and this is who you are now. Who is it that you remember? He's going to do two things here. Remember who you used to be without Jesus, and remember who you are now. So remember who you used to be without Jesus. You used to be someone that was foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, living with hatred in your heart towards others, okay? Malice, envying others, wanting what they have. That's who you used to be. That's not who you are anymore, okay? That's who you used to be, unless you still are. Hated by others and hating one another. That's who you used to be before you knew Jesus. You weren't someone that hated other people, right? You used to hate other people. Now that you're with Jesus, you don't hate people anymore. This is who you used to be. Remember who you were without Jesus. And then he kind of juxtaposes that against who you are now. And he's going to give this list of pretty theological terms and things. I want you to see this because what he says in verse 8 is important for us to understand these things. Who are we in Christ? We're saved to in a direction, okay? He saved us from God's wrath, by God's grace, for God's glory, from our sin, right? And he's done this in a certain way. Look at the words he uses to describe our salvation. And then in verse 8, tells us why this matters. The first thing he says is, we've been saved by God's goodness and loving kindness. Like when you think about God, I don't know what you think about when you think about God. A.W. Chosier says, what you think about God is the most important thought you have. Because whatever you think about God affects every other thought you have. Okay? And look at what Paul tells Titus. He says to remind these brothers and sisters, they've been saved by the goodness and loving kindness of our Father. This is how God feels about you. He's shown you loving kindness in Jesus Christ. Sorry. Number two, we're saved not by our works, but by God's mercy. He says here, not by our works, but according to his own mercy, he says in verse 5, okay? And then here's a big word, don't get scared off by it. We're saved, it says, by his regeneration, this is a big word, and renewal, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now this, the word regeneration literally means we're a new creation, okay? It's a new Genesis, or we have... We're beginning again, okay, for you Taylor Swift fans. We've begun again in this walking with Jesus. This is who we are. We've been regenerated. Our souls have been restarted to know and love Jesus, and we have been renewed, that he says, by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, the next point there, the Holy Spirit has been poured out richly on us through Jesus Christ, right? Every one of us who have trusted Christ have received the Spirit of God to live inside of us. And he hasn't just given us some of the Holy Spirit. He has poured the Spirit out on us richly, okay? He says here, in Jesus Christ. Next one, he says, again, we're just walking through this passage, that we've been justified by his grace here, okay? And the word justified, that's a legal term, which means this. It means that you and I who are guilty of sin have been declared to be innocent by the holy and righteous judge, by God the Father. He has decided and declared, even though you're guilty, he has made you innocent by his grace, okay? That you and I who once, we're guilty, But we deserve God's punishment. We deserve God's wrath. And he has decided by his goodness to say that we are innocent. So that, the last one there, we will become heirs with Jesus for all of eternity, he says. We've been justified so that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Remember what Romans 8 says? It says, you have not received the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. This is all these things he tells them that you should remember. This is who you are. Now go back and read verse 8, okay? I wanted you to get that because of what it says in verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. You got to insist that these people believe these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. The point there I want you to get is this. He says here, these truths are excellent and profitable for us. So we should insist that you believe this is who you are in Christ. Okay? Paul is telling Titus, tell them this, remind them of this, tell them this, remind them of this. And you need to insist that they believe this. Okay? That you need to remember this is who you are in Christ. Our identity is this in Christ. Why would Paul want them to insist on that? I'm glad you asked, okay? Because everyone tries to attach an identity to us. And we will attach identities to ourselves that are not these things, right? We get identified in a myriad of different ways. If you're in a fraternity or a sorority, or if you play sports, or you vote a certain way, or blah, blah, blah. Everyone's wanting to attach an identity to you. And not that any of them are necessarily bad, but they are less than what really matters, okay? I told the first service. My favorite thing now is when I go to my kids' school, they don't know me. They don't know that I'm Jeremy. They don't know that I'm the pastor of Capstone Church. Nobody cares about that, okay? They just know me as your Clark's dad or your Hannah's dad, right? And that's my favorite identifier at this moment in my life because I get to go there and they're like, hey, you're Clark's dad. You know, hey, I am. And here's the deal. Again, all of us find these identities in these different little pockets, in these different little places. The trouble comes when we start identifying ourselves as whatever those things are above who we are in Christ, okay? And so I think what Paul is telling Titus here is, hey, listen, you got to be careful that you don't identify as this fraternity or this sorority or this as an athlete or this as a dad or a mom or a husband or a wife or whatever. Not that any of them are bad, but we need to insist that we believe these things, right? So that we would remember who we are in Christ. And why would we do that? Last point there is this. When we do that, it's going to help us to be careful to devote ourselves to the good works that God has called us to. Otherwise, we might devote ourselves to other works, and we might treat other things as if they are the most important thing in our lives, be it politics or social whatever, blah, 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 okay? Again, not things that are necessarily bad, but they're not the things that God has called us to. Where did he say it in chapter 2? He said that this grace of God has appeared bringing salvation to all people, and it's able to allow us to say yes to these things and to say no to these things. These are the kind of things that we should remember, and how do we stir up in us to that point? We have to remember who we are in Christ, okay? Verse 9. This is going to get fun right here, okay? He says, but avoid foolish controversies. The Greek word for foolish controversy is moros. It's where we get the word moron from. Okay? You're welcome. Avoid morons. Okay? If I were reading that, that's how I would have translated it. All right? Genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. Why should you avoid them? Because they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division, Paul chooses violence here, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. And when I send Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on the way. See that they lack nothing. and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Good stuff. All right, last thing here. He tells them, number one, he tells them we should avoid useless things. Things that are foolish. Things that are divisive. Things that are debates that don't matter. Quarrels, okay? You should avoid them, okay? Not only should you not engage with them, which, by the way, you should stop engaging with them on Facebook, okay? But you should avoid them completely, okay? Listen, one of the greatest inventions is the mute button on social media, or the block button. I'll block you so quick, you don't even know. You'll forget that I ever existed before. Okay, if we get into it, you should avoid it. You should stay away from it. You shouldn't feed the fire of foolishness. You shouldn't feed the fire of quarrelsomeness, of divisiveness. It is, as he says here, it is moronic. And you, as followers of Jesus, should stay away from it. Okay? And not only should you stay away from it, here's why you should stay away from it, point two, because those kinds of things are unprofitable and worthless. You know, a great question to ask yourself if you get into a conversation like that is this: is this profitable? Like, is this helping anything? Is this doing anything to stir up good in me? Is this causing me to love one another better? Is this helping me love Jesus better? Or is this making me want to punch somebody in the face, you know? Usually it's the latter for me. It's what I should do, stay away from it, okay? I should stay away from it. Avoid useless things, and two, we must deal with divisive people. Look, my encouragement to you is, don't be someone that stirs up division. We all know people like this, okay? If you don't know someone like this, you're someone like this, okay? Possibly. Just saying. You can email me at josh@capstonechurch.org. We all know people that jump from controversy to controversy to controversy to controversy, right? It's just their life is full of drama, division, divisiveness. We all know people like this, okay? If you don't know people like this, holler at me after the service. I can tell you a few people like this, all right? And what does he say to do with them? He says to avoid them. Stay away from people like this. They are a cancer in your life, right? Stay away from people like this. And he says, here's what you should do. After warning him once and then twice, have nothing to do with him. Why? Because look at verse 8. Verse 11. Brian, can we read verse 11 real quick? Knowing that such a person is warped. They don't see things clearly. They don't see things correctly. Everything they see through a lens that is divisive, that's warped, it's sinful. They're condemning themselves by how they live and how they act. So Paul says, stay away from people like this, right? And instead, verses 12 to 15, we won't read it, but the last point there is this. All that he's talking about is with Artemis and Tychicus and Zenas and Apollos and all these guys, he's giving them this picture that we need each other, okay? We need each other. Come make sure you get there by winter. I'd love to see you guys. Help each other when you have need. Just love each other, okay? Love each other, help each other, do these things together. We need each other. We need to help each other, devote ourselves to loving God, loving one another, and to good works. And if we could just do that, if we could just be the kind of people that we go, you know what? If you wrap all this up, Paul says, man, you got to live in such a way with those that are outside the church that they understand that you're a loving, kind, compassionate person, even if they don't believe the same things you believe, right? You should remind yourselves of who you are in Christ and insist that you believe this. Remind each other over and over and over again, this is who we are. We're not defined by this. We're not defined by this. We're defined by who we are in Christ, right? And so kind of the last things he says here is, remember who you are in Christ. You're defined by who you are in Christ. Therefore, don't be divided by lesser things, right? Like, you're defined by who you are in Christ, so don't be divided by lesser things. And just love one another, right? Just love one another. And so here's my invitation to you, and we're done. And if you don't know Jesus, maybe you're religious, maybe you're a pretty good person, but you've never trusted Christ, I would encourage you to go read this list of what Jesus does for us, like what he has shown us in Christ. And if you've never trusted him, and the invitation for you this morning is not for me, it's from Jesus, that is, you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and he would save you this morning, okay? Right there where you are. And if you are following Jesus, my encouragement to you is read through this passage and ask the Lord, what are the things in me that what is the work you still have to do in my heart? Like, what are areas where I'm not being kind, where I'm not being helpful, where I'm not being gentle or humble? What are some ways that I'm stirring up division and foolishness? And I need to put that aside so that I can walk in the light you've called me to, right? How can I say yes to the things you've called me to say yes to and say no to the things you've called me to say no to? And whatever the Spirit leads you to do, my encouragement to you is to be obedient to that, right? I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not telling you what to do, but I would encourage you to seek the Lord, pray, read through the scriptures, and ask the Lord, how would you have me to live in light of this? As we are continuing to be transformed by his grace, God, how would you call me to live out these things? Let's pray together. So, Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for this tiny little letter that it's really helpful, and it's convicting, and it's proof that we all still got a ways to go. But, Lord, we're grateful that by your mercy, you've saved us, you love us, you remind us who we are, and we can insist that one another believe these things so that we can be stirred up towards love and good works. God, if there are people here that don't know Jesus, I'm sure there are. Lord, I pray that you would show them their need for Christ and that they would trust Jesus this morning. And for the believer, God, I pray we would be both encouraged and challenged to continue to walk and be transformed by your grace. God, I need that. I think all of us need that. And I pray we could help each other do that better and love one another all along the way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.